This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com and also the FitCast Insider at TheFitCastInsider.com. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
We can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 28. My name is Kevin Larrabee and I'm joined this week by Mike Robertson again. We just had him on a couple weeks ago, but I thought it was about time he got his own damn show. So how you doing this week, Mike?
I'm doing all right, man. I'd be doing a lot better with Colts win today, but I'll do my best to persevere and make it a good show tonight.
That's right. We're recording right after the Colts game, so I apologize for that we might be having you on a down note.
Nah, that's all right.
Well, how you been lately? What, you been working on anything crazy for us?
I'm always working on new stuff.
Well, there's the Magnificent Mobility new e-manual just came out, right?
Yeah, just got Eric and I got that finished up, and that's been going out this week. We're finishing up all the editing on the Building the Efficient Athlete DVD series that we shot and filmed at our New York City seminar this past July. And then I'm also working on pulling together my Bulletproof Knee Manual. It's been my latest thing. I've got about 87 pages or so done on that. So hopefully we'll have something to show for that in the next couple months. So just trying to crank out some material and give people what they want. So
absolutely.
Keep busy.
Yeah, and we're also going to be talking about an article you just had up on T-Nation Nutrition on the go.
Excellent.
So we'll be talking about that later in the show. We'll start off with the FitCast news very quickly. Last week I mentioned the Insider. It was supposed to be launching tonight, but due to some issues that we're having with some scheduling and some other personal issues that I've been having, we're going to be pushing it back to next week. So I hope you're not too mad about that. But when we have it all up, it's going to have so much content on it, it's going to blow you away. And also, for those who haven't been picking up the newsletter or checking out the website, basically what the FitCast Insider is, it's somewhat of a companion to the FitCast, but it's going to be completely different with the interviews. We're going to be focusing on one or two subjects in the interviews and going in-depth with some things that the presenters probably wouldn't talk about on a free show like the FitCast, and we're just going to be really talking about the inside information, as you could see from the Insider, the inside information that those people that we're going to be having on the show have, talking about program design and so many different things. It's going to be very cool, and some people have already started signing up. For those of you who haven't checked it out, it's thefitcastinsider.com. It has some info on it and also has where you can pick up the FitCast Insider. It's $99 for a year, which, I mean, for the amount of content, you're going to be getting 3 interviews per month. And if you put that together, that's a boatload of extra content. And again, I mean, just for the amount of information compared to getting like a set of CDs, which could cost a couple hundred dollars for just $100, you're going to be getting a year's worth of content. That's also the interviews, also full downloadable video. So you might have checked out that Dan John video that we did for the Video FitCast. You're going to be able to download that in a high quality file, throw it on a DVD and watch on your TV or even share it around. So it's some really exciting stuff for presenters. We're going to be having Eric Cressy, Tony Gentilcore, Mike Robinson, who we're having on the show right now, is going to be coming on, Cassandra Forsyth, Rachel Cosgrove, Alan Cosgrove, Craig Ballantyne. I mean, the list just goes on. Even Pat Rigsby is going to be on the show. I just got confirmation from him today. And I'm in talks with a bunch of other people. We're going to be having people on the FitCast Insider that have never been on the FitCast. So it's going to be something you've got to check out. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me at kevin.larrabee@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me through the FitCast Insider as well. Sorry, I just needed to get that out of the way. And that's it for FitCast news, but definitely something you got to check out, and you'll be seeing more about that in the upcoming weeks. For the FitCast news, we're just going to jump into it right away. So here it is, the FitCast news. here it is, the first and only news story that we have for the for the news this week. It is just called Two-Thirds of Students in California Have Failed a Fitness Test. This is really depressing, and Mike and I were talking about this early before the show, and I actually talked to Rachel Cosgrove about this, since it's her state, that two-thirds of the students in the schools have actually failed a fitness test that they have all the students do, which is just displaying the decline in overall fitness and nutrition in our, I guess you could just say, our youngsters. I mean, this is the future of our country right here, and they're not going to be able to, I mean, they're just really not looking good right now.
Yeah, it's a really sad state of affairs as far as the kids growing up. Most people don't know this, but actually when I came out of college, I actually did substitute teaching for about 4 months. And, you know, gym class, you know, I did that for the elementary school kids. And it's almost embarrassing. They're in such bad shape. And, you know, they want them to play all these elaborate games. But, I mean, mm-hmm. These kids are just so out of shape. They just need exercise, you know. And bottom line, they just need to get out and do something. And, you know, anymore in recess even, they can't play a lot of ball games. They can't play kickball. They can't play dodgeball because kids get injured, and then parents complain, and then, well, that's the end of that.
Well, they're outlawing tag now, too. That's an old favorite, tag. I mean, people are getting injured in tag.
I know. It's a sad state of affairs, but, you know, unfortunately, I think things are going to have to get worse before they get better. But two-thirds of students failing a basic physical exam is not very good.
Yeah, I mean, they must be playing tag with baseball bats or something, because that's we used just our hands back in the day, but I guess they've been up in the ante with the violence these days.
That's right. It must be pretty violent sports.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be able to do with this. It starts off with the vending machines in the schools. I don't know how many times we talked about this on the FitCast, and it's starting to get big. Like, even for a project that I'm doing for school, I have to write a letter to my state representative about childhood obesity, just getting it out there. And it's something we're going to have to keep a look out for, as always. And hopefully it's going to get better, and hopefully some schools will just start turning the corner and just getting on the upside of this. But
Kevin, have you ever seen Super Size Me, the documentary on McDonald's and obesity and all that good stuff?
Tons of times, yeah. I've seen it like four or five times.
Well, what really amazed me was, you know, when they show the school where they sent all the really bad kids, mm-hmm. and they took away, you know, the pop, yeah. and all the junk food, and they fed them good food, and, you know, they had to eat fairly clean. What a huge effect it made on, like, their diet and their performance, mm-hmm. as far as in school. Like, they didn't have all these behavioral issues that they had before, and I think we really miss that aspect of things, that if we could just clean up these kids' diets, get the caffeine and the pop and the sugar and just the bad dietary habits out of the schools, that we'd probably see a lot better performance, you know, versus just cramming ISTEP scores. I mean, that's what we have here, but cramming testing scores down the teachers' throats and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. I just wrote a paper a couple of weeks ago kind of detailing on that, and just some of the studies that have been done showed that just something as simple as eating breakfast has helped kids' attitudes in schools and just helping them stay awake in class. It's amazing. Like, I never fell asleep in class in high school, mostly because they wouldn't let you, but I mean, that was always the thing. I was always kind of a breakfast person, so that might have been why.
Sure.
But that wraps up for the FitCast news. I was going to briefly mention the new Nintendo Wii. I guess it was all over the news, just because it is something that's a little different when we talk about kids staying inside playing video games all day and not getting any exercise. This might be a piece of hope, just because you do have to move your arms. I mean,
this is true.
You have some motion sensing going on there, and even some of the games, they have you doing, like, body weight squats, and they have you, like, running in place, which, hey.
Hey, anything to get them moving.
Absolutely.
You know? Burn some calories, get them moving. I just remember when I was in Vegas a couple years ago, the little dance games. Have you ever seen those, the arcade games where they have kids, like, jumping and moving around? I mean, these were, like, 10- and 12-year-old kids, but they came off that thing sweating. I figured, hey, at least they're doing something, you know, even if it is a game. Anything to get them up and get them moving. And, you know, obviously they don't want, like, discipline, like, regimented type exercise, like, mm-hmm. you know, push-ups and sit-ups and stuff like that. But if you can make it fun and interesting, hopefully can elicit a little bit better response and get them going. So.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because a friend of mine actually lost 30 pounds playing that game. I'm not exaggerating. She lost 30 pounds just from playing that game, and they're even starting to see results of that as much that they're implementing it into some high school gym classes, which is very cool.
Hey, whatever it takes.
So everyone out there, go get your Nintendo Wiis and your dance dance games. So, but we'll get out of the FitCast news. We'll jump right into the Q&A. Are you ready, Mike? Are you ready to
go? I'm ready to do this. Ready.
Let's do it. All right. First off, do you ever plan to compete competitively in powerlifting again?
You know, it's funny that that somebody brought this up because it's something I've been thinking a lot about lately. A lot of people assume that since I had, you know, a knee injury and all that stuff that, you know, I'm not interested in competing anymore, and that really couldn't be farther from the truth. When I was competing pretty heavily, I lived in Fort Wayne, and while some of my time there was rather tumultuous, one thing that was great about it was I had a dedicated training team around me. You know, there were three or four other power lifters there. It was really regimented and disciplined. We had set training times. We knew when everybody was going to be at the gym. And if you've ever been in a hardcore or, like, really serious training environment, you know what a big difference that makes. If you guys have followed Eric's progression, I mean, he's gone from, you know, a real stick man at 165 to, you know, a very seriously, you know, elite 165, 181 pound lifter. And he'll tell you right now the biggest difference is having a great training environment. So I think, you know, with the building of my home gym and getting some pretty serious people around me here in the next couple months, it's going to make a huge difference. But long story short, I'd love to get back in the powerlifting field just because there's nothing like, you know, testing yourself on a weekly basis, whether it's, you know, in the gym or on the platform. And one thing I've talked about numerous times is, for me, even more importantly than doing a meet and lifting well at a meet, I just love the discipline of going in the gym and every week trying to add 5 pounds to the bar or add 10 pounds to a lift. And to me, that's more exciting than, you know, doing well in a meet. The meet is just the end result of what you've laid groundwork for the last 4, 5, or 6 months. So long story short, yeah, I definitely want to get back in the powerlifting competitions, and hopefully you look for me out there in the next 4 to 6 months. So
sounds good. This next question comes from me because I've had some ankle problems recently. My calves are getting better, though. I have to admit,
good.
I've got some of those Nike Free shoes.
Yeah,
and
they helping?
I've been doing the foam roller, and it's getting there. And I'm actually seeing, I don't know if it's from this, but I've been seeing a huge improvement in my vertical leap.
I believe it.
And it's blown me away. But
yep.
I owe you big time for pointing that out to me back in Connecticut.
Good.
But we'll jump into the question. How should someone go about increasing ankle mobility after a bad sprain?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. And first off, do you still have up somewhere Bill's thing that he did for you a couple weeks ago?
Yes,
that
I
little,
did.
Well, if you can put that back up, I downloaded that. That's a great little piece of information there. If you guys haven't seen it, Bill Hartman outlined kind of like a 4 or 5 minute, you know, soft tissue and ankle mobility protocol that he put up for the FitCast, and it was really excellent. Gives some great information. As far as, you know, getting the ankle mobility back, not only is it an ankle mobility issue after a sprain, but trying to get your proprioception back.
Mm-hmm.
What I always have my kids do, obviously you want to get swelling and inflammation out of there as quickly as possible. For as far as just basic open chain ankle mobility, so without your foot being in contact with the ground, I'll start off with, like, basically making them spell the alphabet, both with uppercase and lowercase letters.
Mm-hmm.
So really exaggerated, make an A. Really exaggerated, make uppercase B. C, D, just going through trying to get the basic range of motion and mobility back. Once they start feeling better, then you can get into the balance type stuff where, whether it's just maybe without a shoe on the ground, so real low level, versus, and Eric won't get mad at me on this topic, but, you know, rehabbing an ankle sprain is actually a great time to use an unstable surface in the lower extremity. So you can progress to that kind of stuff, but really the best thing you can do there is first and foremost, get the swelling inflammation out, then start to get the proprioception back, because that's really the biggest issue that people have. When you're talking about ankle mobility, the closed chain stuff that I covered in my knee seminar, so basic ankle or closed chain MOBs, for example, in Bulletproof, what I had was two basic ankle mobility drills that I got from Mike Boyle. So the first one, you can stand up close to a wall, put your weight on your heel, and then keeping your weight on your heel, you're basically just trying to shoot your knees over your toes. So it's trying to improve sagittal plane or ankle mobility. But just starting with that basic kind of stuff is really what you need. But people always want to get the mobility back, and generally I don't find that's as big of an issue as trying to get the proprioception back so they don't consistently sprain that same ankle. So that's what I have people do, and you know, I'm sure a true athletic trainer or physical therapist might be able to give you a better answer, but that's where I start and kind of work my way back from there. Trust me, I've rehabbed more than a few ankle sprains through my sporting career, so luckily my ankles are still doing all right. So.
Sounds good. I'll keep that in mind. And also, I will throw up that video we had with Bill Hartman again. I'll throw it in the show notes so you guys can watch it on thefitcast.com.
Awesome.
The next question. Can you tell us about the Magnificent Mobility e-manual and also what it includes?
Sure. You know, after we came out with Magnificent Mobility, a lot of people asked, well, do you have a list of the exercises? Or do you have a printed description and pictures of all the exercises? And honestly, when Eric and I came out with Magnificent Mobility, we didn't have any clue it would need to include this kind of stuff, or we didn't see the inherent value that it would bring. We just thought, you know, the DVD is good enough because it shows, you know, all the movements and it gives you the coaching cues and that kind of stuff. So when we came out with it, we really honestly didn't see the value in it. Now looking back, people started saying, well, man, it would really be great if we had something to take to the gym with us or something that gives us those coaching cues, you know, that we can look at and then immediately perform the exercises. So when we're going through, one of our client, or it's not actually a client, but somebody came to us and said, look, I've created this. What do you guys think of it? And basically all he did was take screenshots of all the exercises, did a basic transcription of, you know, the coaching cues and what we said in the video. And we said, hey, look, I think his name was Zach or Zachariah. He said, look, you know, this is really good stuff. Can we use this? So, you know, we gave him a few free products and revised it and got it cleaned up. But basically it's a close to a transcription of the entire DVD. So we've got the introduction, why you need to do, you know, dynamic flex exercises pre-workout versus static stretching and cardio, what you can get out of it, and then basically it covers every single exercise we have in there. It gives the pictures, it gives the descriptions, because really if you think about Magnificent Mobility, while I think it's a really great DVD and Eric probably thinks it's a really great DVD, the inherent value in it is in the coaching cues. The exercises themselves, there's nothing special about them. It's the coaching cues and teaching people to do the right things that makes it so special. And Eric has a great line, he says it all the time, but it's not doing something different, it's just doing something right or more efficiently. And so that's what we want people to do. And with the manual now, we think they can print the stuff off, take it to the gym with them, and so right before they do a glute bridge, they can say, okay, I need to make sure I don't feel it in my hamstrings, I need to feel it in my butt. And it's got all the coaching cues right there, so they know exactly what they need to do, and they can get the most out of their performance when they're at the gym.
Very cool. Well, everyone keep a lookout for that. And where can they get some more information on that?
If they have not purchased Magnificent Mobility, you can go to the website, www.magnificentmobility.com, and you can order both the DVD and the manual together now. If you've already ordered the actual DVD and you want a copy of the e-manual, just send Eric an email, ec@ericcressy.com, and he'll give you instructions to how to get it all set up.
Sounds good. I'll throw up those links on thefitcast.com as well.
Sounds great.
The next question, it's jumping ahead. In your article, in your article on the Go Nutrition, you listed a bunch of options for people to eat while on the run. What is the number one mistake that people usually make while using on the go nutrition?
Okay, well, in my estimation, there are two really big things where people go wrong, and the first one isn't really something that they're doing on the go. It's before they ever get on the go, is they have no planning at all as to what's going to happen in their day. Okay, so most people have a fairly routine schedule, whether you as a student have set classes, so you know where you're going to be from 8 to 9 or 10 to 12, or most people have a regular 8 to 5 job. They know when they have breaks, when they have lunch, etc. So the biggest problem is most people don't even plan for eating at all. Okay, they just kind of go into their day thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do lunch, 12 to 1 I got lunch, well, you know, I'll hit the cafeteria up and I'll just eat whatever they're serving there. And so there's no planning and preparation for their day. So that's really the problem before they ever get on the go, so to speak. But then the biggest issue is when you haven't planned and then you get on the go, you have to succumb to convenience, right? That's generally the biggest issue. You get going, you start to get hungry or you get sidetracked doing something, you know, it always comes up. So what do? You succumb to convenience. And generally, convenience foods aren't the best foods. Whether it's like a 7-Eleven or fast food, generally when we're in a pinch and we're hungry, we don't make the best food decisions. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to implore people to think more about, whether it's putting stuff in your bag so you can eat better or making a daily plan as far as this is when you're going to eat, this is what you're going to eat. Just trying to map out a better dietary routine from start to finish so it's not just left to chance how you're going to eat. And I thought, you know, I was expecting to catch more flack writing this article, especially because I'm not like a nutrition guy. I'm not a John Berardi or a Chris Moore or any of these names in the nutritional field. But the thing that allows me to write this kind of article is I'm doing it every day. My job has me in and out of people's houses. My schedule changes, you know, minute to minute, honestly, where I might have a client go out and then I have to go to a client that's 30 minutes away. So if I don't have snacks readily available or good food choices readily available, then I'm no better than you guys, you know. I've got to do what I can and get something to eat, and generally convenience is not going to be our best option. So if you can plan, generally you're just going to make better choices from start to finish. So if you're not planning your day and planning your meal in advance, I'd start doing that, and that'll make a huge difference right off the bat.
Sounds good, and everyone should check out the article. It's on T-Nation. Again, I'll throw a link up for it in the show notes as well.
Cool.
Next question. Could you go over what your training regimen looks like currently and also what your goals are?
Sure. You know, this one is, it kind of goes along with, you know, not having a set training crew here just yet. So, odd, but you find your low body training isn't nearly as effective. When you're squatting, you can set up catch pins, so I can still train heavy on squats and not really be affected. With deadlifts, obviously, if you get a weight that's too heavy, you can drop it. But with bench press and things like that, you're kind of at risk if you don't have a good spot. And I've dealt with it enough where I try and bench heavy, and you go to a commercial gym and you say, look, this, you're trying to explain to a spotter, right? You say, okay, this might be a little slow, don't touch it unless it starts to come down. And you know, you get it about halfway to your sticking point, you're starting to grind through it, and the guy just pulls it off your chest. So obviously, it's tough if you don't have trained spotters and trained people that know how to spot you correctly. But as far as my training regimen right now, it's a basic template. You know, Tuesday and Saturday, I've been doing my low body lifting. Thursday, Sunday are upper body lifting days. Tuesday is generally my max effort low body day. Friday or Saturday, whichever it may be, has been more of a, it's not really a true speed day. I would consider it more of just a hypertrophy slash motor control day. I do a lot of single leg lifting on that day, a lot of glute activation stuff. Because I am the ass master, I have to include that in every workout. But, you know, more than anything, with the knee injury and trying to make sure my body is dialed in, it's just trying to make sure I'm very efficient and my body's working the way I want it to. With regard to upper body lifting, Thursday is my max effort upper body day, which has been more of, you know, 3 and 5 rep maxes versus true 1 RM. And then Sunday has been more supplemental stuff as well. I've been, at the advice of Bill Hartman, I've been incorporating a ton of different movement patterns, trying to get, you know, like the serratus anterior firing better, the low traps firing better. So instead of more lockout type work, I've been playing with more push-up type variations, trying to get the serratus firing better. So more than anything, really just trying to prepare myself for what I'm going to have to do to get ready for a meet. So when people ask, what are your goals? I wouldn't say my goal right now is to say get my squat from a 450 raw squat to a 500 raw squat. My training right now is more geared towards I want to get myself healthy, so when I want to take my squat from 450 to 500, I can do it in the healthiest and most efficient manner possible. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that really makes sense. It's kind of what the Eastern Europeans would consider training to train. I'm just trying to get myself ready to train at the level I want to be. So the next phase is what they call training to compete. So I'm basically in the training to train phase, keeping myself healthy and getting myself prepared for a big push here in the next couple months when I want to get back in the powerlifting scene. So hopefully that makes sense. Another long-winded answer, but hopefully it makes sense as far as getting healthy and improving movement patterns so that when I do want to push it, it'll be the healthiest and most efficient way possible.
That sounds good. And we'll jump into the last question, which I'm excited about hearing your answer, and you're probably excited about it as well.
Definitely.
What has it been like putting together your own home gym? And also, is there any advice that you'd give to our listeners that are thinking about doing the same thing?
Honestly, Kevin, this is like the most excited I've been since I was like a little kid. You know, I was trying to think back about when I've been this excited about something, and you know, it's really up there with like learning to drive or like getting your driver's license or going to college. You know, I just can't explain how pumped up I am. When I was at Ball State, we had the number 3 ranked men's powerlifting team in the nation. So I had a great training facility there. Then I went to Fort Wayne and I got to train and compete out of a powerlifting facility there. So when I came here and I didn't have a home or real hardcore gym to work out at, it was really difficult for me. And so I've been kind of dealing with the fitness or, you know, foo-foo fitness facility deal for like the last 12, 18 months. And it's been really wearing on me. You know, anytime you go in there and if you squat, you know, below parallel, people are looking at you. If you're deadlifting anything over 225 or not on the deadlift machine, they're looking at you crazy. So this has honestly been like the coolest thing for me getting that set up. And the idea of starting my own powerlifting gym, you know, one of my good buddies works out at Westside and he just bought Louis Simmons' first house where the original Westside barbell started. He's like, dude, my garage is where the original Westside started.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, I mean, when you start thinking like that, like Westside started out of a garage. So, I mean, that's pretty cool to me. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've got a few guys that I think are going to come and start training with me. I have to fix them up first. Between Bill and I, a couple of my old buddies kind of went off on their own ways and started training on their own and got beat up in the process. So I got to get them put back together. But once we do, I think we'll have a pretty decent training gig. So as far as advice, first off, if this is something you're serious about, I mean, if you're serious about not only getting stronger or really developing a great physique, if you don't have a great gym and you know, very few of us have great gyms around us, don't be afraid to start something like this. You know, when I first started crunching the numbers and I took my wife, luckily she was very supportive. She was like, if this is what you want to do, go for it. And, you know, most women would not go for that, but she was definitely supportive about it. But if this is something you're serious about, start putting away nickels and dimes, whatever you can. And that's what I did to get myself to a position where like, okay, this is something I can really do. And then, you know, once you have numbers crunched, figure out what's feasible as far as your space goes. I don't know how much real space I have, but basically all I'm going to have in there is a power rack, hopefully a glute ham raise, and I got a set of power blocks. So I've got, you know, barbells, dumbbells, glute ham. I've got, you know, a ton of different exercises that I can do with just that basic stuff. But the biggest thing is, you know, Don't look at the number and say, oh, I can't do that, because that's what most people do. They look at a goal and they say, I can't do that. Instead, start breaking it down. Think, okay, what can I do to put away $200 every month or put away $100 every month, whatever that may be. And, you know, before you know it, you can have a pretty nice gym set up, whether it's in your garage, your basement, whatever works for you. But it's definitely one of the coolest things, and it's funny that you asked this, because yesterday I set up pretty much my platform. I've got that all set up. I got my power block set up, and then Wednesday's the big day. I get my power rack from Elite, so that's going to be like the coolest day ever. You're going to see, you know, pictures up on my blog and, you know, pictures of me with a big grin taking self-portraits with my power rack, but, you know, that's just me, because I get excited about that stuff.
Pretty hot.
Yeah, hey, I'm really looking forward to it. And so now when people want to come to Indianapolis, they got a great place to come and work out, and they can come get a session in with me. We'll move some iron, as Mr. Cressy says, get diesel. That's what I got all my high school kids saying now. I'm trying to get them diesel. So it's a good time, though, man. I'm looking forward to it. So when you're out in Indy, I'll have to get you out here and get a lift in.
Absolutely. Well, for everyone out there, don't forget to check out Mike's blog, and if I ever hear news of it, I'll also throw up a link on the fitcast.com as well.
Sounds great.
It sounds exciting, and I really haven't been able to watch a process of someone putting a gym together, and I mean, it's very cool, and it's something that I hope to be able to do someday. But
well, I'm actually, once it's all said and done, too, either for Elite or TMAG, whichever one wants it, I'm actually going to put together a piece of step-by-step what I did to, say, build my platform, how I decided what equipment I used, you know, kind of rate some of the stuff, because the power blocks, you know, as far as, like, putting the actual stand together was kind of awkward, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm just going to give step-by-step, look, this is what I thought I needed, this is what I bought, this is how I put it all together, this is what you could do if you had, you know, X amount of more space or X amount less space, and kind of go from there, because, like I said, just good training facilities anymore are few and far between, so if nobody's going to make it for us, we got to make it for ourselves, so.
Absolutely. Well, I guess I'll pretty much wrap up this edition of the FitCast. Before we go, though, I do want to do a couple shout-outs. First off, to TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at turbulencetraining.com. And to John Williams, wherever you are, out on in Europe, I don't know what you're doing, but we miss you again this week, and I hope all is going well, and it's a well-deserved vacation, so have fun with that.
touring the Mediterranean, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing, and hopefully we'll see some pictures, and when he gets back, he'll definitely be back on the FitCast, so look out for that. And without further ado, that's it for this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 28. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm Mike Robertson.
And we'll see you next time. And Mike was actually able to say it this time, which was great because we had no time problems.
That's always important.
We'll see you next time.